All right, we are out of executive session at 7:03. All right, can we please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, next up, I need a motion to adopt the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Were there any changes, deletions, additions? Hearing none, then, can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Ms. Greer.
Yes.
Ms. Reed.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes.
Ms. Bowers.
Okay, motion carries. You did say yes, Donna, correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I'll make sure we got it on record. All right, next up, Employee of the Month. So I need a motion to approve Sherry Pugh as the November Employee of the Month, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Ms. Mangan.
Sherry,
would you come on up here?
Sheree. I'm sorry.
Sheree.
I apologize.
My one fun thing I get to do all time. All right, so it's my pleasure tonight to read to you the reasons in which you are nominated for this award. And they're all good. Are you ready? Sheree deserves recognition as Employee of the Month because she puts needs of students first. She's honest, is caring, and very compassionate, is highly motivated to help students accomplish their personal goals, is self-motivated, encourages others, is dedicated, is very cognizant of the student's personal needs, limitations, and abilities, and she goes above and beyond expected responsibility and proactive. I don't think there's anything else to add to that list, so congratulations.
All right. Thank you for all that you do for the district. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Baby.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, actually, I'm going to take a break in the agenda because we have
a change.
Mrs. Ritter. Cindy, would you please stand up? We'd like to present you with a plaque recognizing your time here in the district and all the great work and dedication that you've given to us. So,
thank you.
Congratulations and thank you. And secondly, this comes from Senator Burke, and it's an honor for your remarkable service to the district, and it's signed by the Senate President, Mr. Faber, and Mr. Burke, Senator Burke. So, congratulations.
Should we all get up there?
Why no? Who's got a candy? Take it. On your phone.
Just her?
Or with all of you? Yeah. Take
it. Oh, the bill will never come off. Put some powder on his head. He's about to get light off.
Right. Oh, yeah. We're talking. You ready?
We're
thank you. Pass on words to see.
Okay, next up, we have a presentation from Creekview on the Common Core. So, Mr. Canale, or
thank you, Mrs. For the opportunity to speak on behalf of Creekview students and staff. Two objectives I want to cover tonight in a short period of time. I want to talk a little bit about the results of our state report card, most specifically, how we're going to close the achievement gap for our underperforming students. We're going to talk a little bit about a system, a structure of monitoring their progress and providing interventions and using assessment to drive some instructional planning. Ryan Fairman, our instructional coach, is doing a great job for us this year. Ryan is going to take over that part of the presentation. I wanted to talk a little bit about our journey through the Common Core, College and Career Readiness Standards, For the last year and a half, most specifically last year, our teachers, our administrators, everyone involved that touches kids worked very, very hard to develop curriculum maps aligned to the Common Core standards. It was a ambitious task, but we did a great job. Every school now is teaching under the Common Core standards, but the teaching looks a little bit different today than it looked in years past. The instructional implications of the standards are varied, and I passed out something for you to take a look at. I'm not going to read through it, but these are some of the skills and attributes that we expect kids to matriculate through the district and become adept at and skilled with all of those traits. Not long ago, I made a list of what I used to see when I walked through classrooms, what used to be best practice. I brainstormed these, wrote them down, and shared them with teachers, and did the same thing for what we should be seeing today. So, in classrooms of the past, the recent past, they were teacher-centered classrooms, and we saw things like whole class instruction, teacher standing in front of the group, talking to 25 or 30 kids, student passivity, sitting, listening, receiving information, a lot of solitude, kids working independently, kids working alone. One-way transmission of information. The teacher was the gatekeeper of knowledge, and she disseminated, or he disseminated that. The prizing of silence in the classroom. Quiet classrooms, compliant kids. A lot of seat work, a lot of worksheets, fill in the blank. A focus on covering a vast amount of curriculum. To get through it, cover it all. Kids emphasizing, teachers emphasizing rote memorization facts. A lot of skill and drill. Used to be best practice. This is what we're talking about now. This is what we're seeing in our classrooms. This is the leadership that our administrators and coaches are providing. We're looking for the following. Experiential, hands-on learning, discovery-based learning. Active learning, all the attendant noise of kids moving in classes, a lot of motion, a lot of movement, a lot of talking. Student-to-student interaction, a great deal of collaboration and discussion. The diverse role of the teacher, no longer the gatekeeper of knowledge, but facilitator, coach, modeling and demonstrating knowledge, working with small groups regularly, small group instruction. Higher order thinking, problem solving. The Common Core has brought us a deeper study of smaller number of topics. So we really get to learn key concepts, essential concepts, and the principles of that field of study. Sparking curiosity in our students, appealing to their intrinsic motivation and their drive for learning. Responsibility for learning transferred to the student. So students are doing things like goal setting, tracking and monitoring their progress, sharing their knowledge, exhibiting their knowledge, evaluating their performance. A lot of choices for students. Certainly cooperative, collaborative activities, planning every day. Formative assessments, driving instruction, and a lot of STEM activities, science, technology, engineering, and math. You'll know a little bit about that as we open a school in the future. I want to talk to you about how we're embedding this into our preview experience. You're going to see pictures of kids. Pay attention to those. But every Friday for 2.5 hours, we engage our kids in cognitive challenges. They're month-long challenges ending with a culminating activity. For example, tomorrow, and you're invited to attend from 9 to 11 or from 1 to 2:30, our students are exhibiting and demonstrating some dams that they have built. They studied a geographic region. They studied the engineering of dams, its social and environmental implications on the ecosystem. And these teams of kids created dams using spaghetti, lasagna, other things that you can find in the kitchen. And tomorrow they will share those out for visitors, and we're going to evaluate whether their dams were successful or not successful. Through this project, We embedded social studies, certainly a tremendous amount of science, without questions of engineering, the economics of dam building, what happens when dams are built to the population. Really pretty neat activity. Fridays, I believe, are our kids' favorite days. So if you have time tomorrow, 9 to 11 or from 1 until the end of the day, come by and see our kids. We have fun talking about the project. In fact, tomorrow we hope to have a damn good day. Did everyone understand? I'll talk very quickly about the next thing. After this project's finished, we're going to have groups of kids study geographical regions, countries. From those countries, they're going to study history, culture, economics, and influential people from that country. And then they're going to design a theme park representing all those things I just mentioned. These theme parks will be designed on blueprints, then they will be built to scale. And we're going to invite Chamber of Commerce members to come in and evaluate our students' theme parks. So the challenge itself sounds like this, and this is what we ask our kids to do, and then they just kind of go with it. Here's their challenge. The Chamber of Commerce has asked Creekview students to design a proposal for a fun and educational theme park. Each team will be assigned a geographic region to focus for their park. Students will be researching culture, landforms, habitats, historical sites, and influential people from the region. Students will incorporate these important aspects when they design their park. So, for the next month, for a couple hours every Friday, this is what the kids will be doing. Mm-hmm. Collaborating, critical thinking, problem solving, all under the idea of science, technology, engineering, math. Really, really interesting to see our kids engaged in this way. Really interesting to watch our teachers facilitate this. So we've had a lot of fun with it. We think it's going to be impactful for our kids, and we certainly hope to get some results. We want to talk a little bit about our achievement gap, most specifically with our underperforming kids. We've identified this group as needing greater attention from us, and we want to talk a little bit about how we're watching more closely than we ever have before.
So Tim gets the, hey, check out this awesome stuff. Fill the damn gap.
It's called leadership, right?
So we were inspired this year to know our kids better than we've ever known them before, so that we can monitor their progress over time and help them achieve to their highest potential. For the purpose of this presentation, I'm just going to focus on our struggling learners. What we've developed are spreadsheets at each grade level for the focus areas, math and reading. This is what you're looking at right now, are our struggling learners at sixth grade math. I've blacked out their names for privacy, obviously. But the first step we took this year was to collect as much information, historical data about our children as possible, so that we could disseminate that to our staff and so that we can know them best. From there, and if you can follow my mouse here at the bottom, these are our different sixth grade teams, yellow, blue, red, and orange. So if we take a look at the yellow team, for example, these would be the students that are in just the yellow team's block of kids. We started to collect data that we can monitor over time so we know how they're performing. So if you'll follow just this top guy across here, we have some AIMSWeb data. That's a quick progress monitoring tool used in math and reading. It's color-coded, so you can see green is acceptable. We have benchmarks that come from our new math series. They're given every four topics, and they monitor a student's growth over time. We have the SLO test that everybody gave at the beginning of the year. And then on a smaller scale, we have the topics from the math series. So basically what you would think of as unit tests from back in your school days. And you can see down at the bottom what they are. So example, topic one, 74% on numeration, your basic number sense, 91% on variables. So we're able to track it down to a very detailed level. And as we follow the kids across, our final step is to say, okay, we know this kid, what he's done for this student. And so for this, we have some school-wide interventions available, like after school and before school tutoring, and some small group RTI instruction within the school. So as we track the kids, we can know, you know, maybe their data at this time shows satisfactory progress. This student, even though we've identified him or her as a struggling learner, so far is holding their own during the year. Or perhaps they're receiving one of our small group interventions, and we have that track to know, all right, well, things aren't looking so peachy, but we're doing a little bit extra to try to help close that gap. Like I said, we've tracked this in 6th grade math, 6th grade reading, 5th grade math, and 5th grade reading.
How do you share that data between everyone? I mean, who aggregates all that together? Does it just sit on a network drive, or, I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, currently, I'm the house of all this information. But that's, you know, another benefit of Fridays that Tim didn't bring up is that every Friday the departments come together to focus on data and instruction. So that's the time we can share it out. And this is actually, you can see this is a work in progress. We've got the data we want to collect, but it's going to take time for those data points to come in. And then similarly, our next step as a team is to bring this to the teacher level for progress monitoring. So, you know, with this, we're able to ask those questions. Sally here isn't showing adequate progress. What's going on in the classroom to help her achieve at her potential?
So who's using this data right now to make decisions?
Teachers.
Okay, so it does go down to the teacher level.
Yeah, absolutely. The Friday meetings when the teachers are there, all right. This data is discussed.
So in essence, he's created common planning time by having the Pride Friday. Certain groups of teachers are covering that activity and coaching the students while the teachers are meeting and collaborating on that data, correct?
We were able to create some unique scheduling on Fridays to bring our departments together so that we can pay closer attention to academic achievement and growth.
And as a professional team, for example, all of the 6th grade math teachers, we can have a conversation about this one student and really dig deep and figure out what it is that would best help that student.
Very cool.
So we know our kids like we've never known them before. We're having conversations with our teachers, instructional conversations with our teachers at a level that we haven't had in the past. So we're excited about this.
Very good. Right, cool.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Keep letting us know when you have those Fridays, you know, those Pride Fridays.
I will.
I know. Yeah.
You visited. But, I know that was great. If you do come by, make sure you wear tennis shoes.
Right.
Cafeteria floor gets slippery, I think. Superintendent might be able to
attest to that.
Did you say those are every Friday, Tim?
Every Friday we have these activities.
Once
a month we have the student presentations. Mm-hmm. I will get those dates to you for the next round of presentations.
I mean, it's such a creative solution.
So do you see that changing the attitudes of some of your other students that maybe wouldn't have been as engaged in school?
I made that observation to Tim after, like, my second week at Creek Beer, because some of you might know I worked in the valley for 12 years before going to Creek Beer. And I stepped out at Creek Beer one afternoon on a Friday. This was like 4 o'clock, and there were a group of 10, 11-year-olds standing around talking about what they did in school that day. after hours.
Friday afternoon.
So I think that speaks to that question.
It's exciting. But giving kids opportunities to show us that they know things, showing us in different ways, it engages all levels of students differently. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, kids that typically don't do well sitting and getting information or paper-pencil assessments, when we engage them this way, there's greater enthusiasm and excitement.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's been an increase in interest with some special, unique special ed students.
That's one of the great benefits, too. Some of our unique learners, kids that don't always have an opportunity to experience the same curriculum, are out there working collaboratively with our regular ed kids, and it has just been so much fun to watch these kids grow. Socially and academically. It's been a positive experience.
Very neat.
Good. Thank you.
All right, any other questions? No? Thank you. Thank you all for what you're doing for our kids. So.
All right. Ah, yes. The superintendent's report. Madam Superintendent.
All right. I'd like to start with something a little bit different. Mr. Cook,
would you want to come
Cook.
Cook. He looked right at Bill.
Mr. Cook has a special guest with him we'd like to honor this evening. I know we had to postpone a couple times because he hadn't even gotten the award yet, so we were jumping the gun. So, Aaron, I'll turn it over to you.
As I'm sure many of you know, Mr. Keck, he served a long tenure here at Marysville Schools, and he was recently recognized back in the fall in October at the National FFA Convention with an honorary American degree, a very prestigious award that not many educators get to say that they've been awarded. He was nominated by his peers and his administrators, and through that process, he was recognized, and certainly being in his classroom this year and being down in the ag area, there are some great things going on, and he is certainly deserving of this award, and we appreciate all he does for us, and certainly the things he does for our kids, more importantly, and a former graduate this year, I'll let you talk a little bit about her and some of the things that happened at the convention. And
well, I didn't know I was presenting tonight, but we had a young lady, and I think you've read a lot about her in the news and everything, that was the top four in the nation, and she had a great project, and she got beat out by a chicken farmer. But
anyway, happens that way sometimes, right?
I know. So Elizabeth Hayes is her name, and fantastic young lady. And I hear she might be in high school tomorrow, so right. Coming back from college to talk to some kids and so forth.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, that FFA program is just, it's amazing that, you know, the students that you guys put out from that they're incredible. They're certainly better public speakers than I'll ever be. I can tell you that.
Some of them are very good.
Probably know the Robert's Rules all certainly better than I do. But certainly a great group of kids and certainly representative of that program.
And I will echo that sentiment when I was interviewing for the position, and they were part of that tour process when I was here. They grilled me. They were questions about the school, and certainly. My knowledge of the FFA program, which is very little, but they wanted to make sure that I supported that. So they're great students. Yeah. Tribute to you as well. So.
Well, thank you for the support.
Thank congratulations.
You.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that all of you received the OGT and OAA data that I sent out this week. I'm hoping you did.
We did?
Right?
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
Talking about our focus for having especially the OGT and the 12th graders get over that hump. Also, third grade reading, remembering that this is the first year for the guarantee, so trying to monitor that progress, similar to what you heard Tim talk about. Elementary principals went through the same process with Andy and I, sharing their data in identifying students of concern and how they could increase their time during the typical school day, do flexible grouping and different strategies along that line. Now, remember that initial data, we had about a 64% pass rate as an end of the third grade test. So we wouldn't assume that we would already be at the mark. So that test really covers or assesses things students should learn in the third grade. And it's given in October. So the other important thing to remember is traditionally the report card that's been a 75% passage to get the indicator. Now it's 80 this year. So it's an added increase for achievement in that. So we're going to continue to monitor those kids and their growth in that area.
So the kids that took this in October, these were third graders that took it in October, they will need to have that 80% what time? When will that test be given, the final one?
They get tested at the end of April.
The end of April, okay.
We have to have an 80% passage rate to meet the mark.
The kid doesn't have an 80% passage, but
Okay.
And it's traditionally always been 75, so it's increased this year.
Well, I find it interesting that 64% of our second graders or new third graders were able to pass the third grade test. So I think that certainly speaks volumes about what they're that whole learning more than a year's worth of growth kind of.
And the idea would be then on the value added side to make sure we're ensuring that they still grow a year, and then bringing up the kids from the bottom. So it's really about understanding your kids. I think Tim said it very well. They understand or know their kids better than they ever have, and engaging in those conversations and creative solutions for time. Time is always the obstacle. So, questions on that?
Now, I also find it interesting that there's more kids in the limited section than there is in the basic. Is that...
Again, it's the end of a third grade test. I don't have... If I put everyone's charts together, we could look at... benchmarks, but...
It's just an observation, I guess, maybe. That.
Well, and really, when you think about that PI, Performance Index Score, the goal at this point... Well, not at this point. The goal is to get everyone to proficient. But the more you increase where people are to the next level, that's how you get weighted points and increase your performance index. So it creates another way to look at groups of kids and interventions and or enrichments and how you're going to move them to the next spot.
And these kids on the right are would be the ones who you would say are at risk for that third grade reading guarantee?
Well, if it were implemented today.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
And,
I mean,
and we did not weed out any of the exceptions. So students who have exceptions that are on IEPs or 504s or might be English language learners, we didn't weed out any of those students. That's just a raw number.
Okay. All right.
Also, the beginning of December, we had the honor of entertaining a delegation of Japanese visitors to Marysville. The school got to play a very active part in that. They spent time at Navin Elementary on probably the most exciting part was they were climbing the
ropes.
Climbing apparatus. The students enjoyed watching them, I think, more than vice versa. But and wrapped up the day with an amazing performance and dinner at the high school. Tolls Career Academy made dinner, prime rib dinner that was out of this
It was unbelievable.
And then we were entertained certainly by a local dance company and then a middle school a cappella group and show choir. And I had the unique opportunity to be able to watch the faces of the delegation and the amazement and awe. And the message given by the mayor to our students, students left touched. It was a great evening. And then followed up by a little basketball game and at the girls' game, and they had their pictures taken with the girls' team. And so it was a great week. We look to continue that partnership. They are in Japan. The mayor actually is in charge of education. So in this model, he has to budget money towards education, and the mayor of Yori is looking to set aside money to send a group of kids here in August. So we're hoping we can get all of that established and organized and start an exchange program. So it's very exciting.
Very cool.
I know Jeff and Sue, you were pretty active.
Yeah, I mean, they had the great, great questions for kind of, what we did and how we do things.
Right.
And you know, we were standing there by the Seven Habits tree that was up in the music room. And so we talked a little bit about, you know, what those were and, you know, how we instill that leadership in our students. And they were amazed by it.
They were.
Although that video they showed of that student pyramid that those students made, I'm not really sure liability-wise that would be something we would want to do
scary,
here.
Wasn't it?
But, it was a lot of fun to kind of interact with them. It's certainly something I won't forget anytime soon. So I can't imagine our students would either. So it's a great opportunity.
It was fun. Just want to mention, and this wasn't on my original list to talk about, but the Blue for Burke campaign has really, if you're not familiar with it, there is a student at the high school with a rare form of cancer, and it has our student body was looking to support and fundraise for the students. And it has, by a simple Twitter posting, it has spread like wildfire. The visiting team on Friday, which I think is Thomas Worthington, is also wearing blue in support of that initiative. Other schools wore blue. Was that Wednesday, maybe?
It was Tuesday.
Okay.
Blue for Birth was Tuesday.
And just an amazing think about students in general. Marysville making that connection, but the other schools joining in. It just comes back to the power of kids, and when they're passionate about things, they rise to the occasion in ways that are just amazing. So follow that. It received some coverage on Channel 6 and 10, I believe, and in the Columbus Dispatch. So it's a fantastic little story.
So, certainly the power of social media, too. I mean, how those kids connect is just, whew.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
It's a great story, so certainly wish that student well in that endeavor as well. Other bonus that I would be remiss in not mentioning is our receipt of the Straight A Fund. We've been talking about it in these meetings for a couple months now, and we were lucky enough to be one of 24 schools to receive. We're receiving over $12 million to renovate this building into the Union County Innovation Center and Marysville Early College High School. Certainly a very exciting opportunity for our kids and our staff and our entire community, partnering with Honda, Columbus State, Ohio High Point, and the Chamber. So we'll keep you posted on updates. We had our first curriculum kind of talk where we painted a portrait of a graduate and really focusing on, you know, when our student leaves this institution, what do we want them to be and look like, and what do we want their passions to be about? And then what kind of work habits and 21st century skills do we want them to have mastered? And then we will start developing curriculum with those pieces in mind. So they'll actually be integrated into the curriculum pieces as we work on that. So it's quite a lofty timeline. Our goal is to be done with construction by August 1st, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the agenda. We'd like to be open for the first day of school, August 18th, and have staff move in the 1st. So so it's a very exciting time, a little overwhelming. I mentioned to the group, I said, it's going to be a long journey, and I'm like, well, it's really not very long. It's going to be long. So super excited for that to take place as well.
Well, I got to tell you, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That's going to make Marysville a destination district. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you what, that truly is a big step in really changing, I think, the shape of our district, or what our district looks like. I mean, we're different, you know, in a much better way. So thank you for all of your hard work. Thank you for all of your hard work on it, and certainly your staff. I mean, man, what a month-long grind to get that done, and just, you know, out of the blue, and then here we are, ready to go. I'm sure Mike's excited. Mike, are they going to let you tear down any walls in here? So, very exciting. I'm sure you'll keep us on your email list, right?
I will, I promise.
We get an invite when it opens?
You better be.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
You better. That's all I have right now.
Okay. All right, thank you. Treasurer's report. Madam Treasurer. You can't say that to Todd next month.
Just a couple things that are in the report. We have, with the levy being passed, we needed to update our forecast, and it looks much better with that cash being in there for the next 4-5 years. So that's an excellent thing. So the passage of the levy helps the forecast look much better over the years. And then the appropriation changes that we've got on the board is, I did not add the grant yet, because when I sent everything out, we hadn't got the total approval. Wednesday, they told Diane, yeah, the money's going to be in there Wednesday, and it is. It's in the grant fund, so we can draw down as we need it. Talking with a person from the State Department, that they're looking at our grant very specially because of all the big equipment that we've got in there and all the big costs that are going to be in there. So with that, she's going to meet with Todd probably the first week of January and make sure that he understands. And I've explained to him that he needs to make sure we've got invoices and ready to roll and they'll pay cash, send us checks and money at that point, because it's going to be money in, money out real fast. And, you know, we don't have the extra $12 million stuff in front of us. So, and they understand that. So it's very good in that realm. So. And all the other changes on the appropriation were changes either with this first half of the year being passed and being done. So.
All right. Very good. Any questions? All right. Thank you. The High Point Report.
Not a whole lot going on. We had our Christmas dinner.
How was it?
Nice. It was good.
All right.
Duck, glazed duck.
Oh, ooh, wow.
And Marysville did have a student of the month again. It's been a lot this year.
All right, cool.
Dixon Shapiro.
Oh, okay.
So I talked to
Jerome. Oh, good.
Yeah, Jerome had some good things to say, too. We approved the waiver on the notification for the TIF. So that's what we're going to be doing here. And the only other thing they talked about is the new requirement and how many people are going to be coming back. And I've been saying it's a 14-member board. It's a 17-member board. Four years there, and I was pretty sure, but I never sat around and counted. The only two of us are not coming back. So I think a lot of them are just going to be getting filled by the existing members. I know, like, Bell Fountain actually had an application process for mm-hmm. that position, mm-hmm. and then they had, they had some committee that would select who would get sent.
Oh, wow.
So,
so the other board members meet the requirements for that?
I guess so. Or at least by the who is making those decisions.
So we have to still fulfill?
Right. Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You'll do that at your organizational meeting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, only two of us aren't coming back. So,
and it was, wow.
You know, and I think they might be a little bit nervous there. So I was talking about some of the things that we're hoping, you know, what Marysville's hoping to do for that position. And to me, I think it's exciting. I mean, that's the whole spirit of the law. You want somebody who has a pulse on the local labor, mm-hmm. The local labor
Absolutely.
Needs. And I think that'll just help that organization. But I don't think most
There's
people
excited.
There felt that way. You know, some people,
change, huh?
Yeah, they mm-hmm. said, "Oh, you guys are so much more approachable." And you know, I guess they're afraid of what they might get. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Thank you. And thank you for spending all that extra time going to those board meetings the last 4 years. Yeah. That takes a lot of time.
It's definitely a lot of driving, especially on those icy, windy, so much windier up
there. Yeah, top of the hill, right?
Yeah.
All right, legislative report.
Okay, the 18th, new legislation was introduced that would require public high schools to publish annually a career decision guide in its newsletter or on its website. When I tried to pull this piece of legislation up to see what it entailed, there was no text available on the LSC. So I don't know any more about it than that, and it was just introduced. And then on the 11th, the House Bill 181, the student information, which was introduced by House Rep Amy Brunner, that prohibits submission of a student's personal identifiable information to the federal government without direct authorization of the local school board, passed out of the House, and it was amended. And what the amendment did was forbids schools from giving any personally identifiable information to any consortium without written consent from the parents. So that has moved on to the Senate.
No, that they're trying to deal with the park assessment, right? Is that what that's for? So that they can't use that as a would be my guess.
I don't know if it's that one or if it's 193 maybe that has to do with the park assessment. There's already legislation that prohibits for the state. This just pertains specifically to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if it was 193 or not that had the for the park assessment.
I don't know, one of them was delaying, but I thought that one was that the worry was that with the park assessment it would send along student identifiable information.
And That very well could have been this one. And this one was first introduced back in May. So, and I think that was the only amendment they had was here at the end. And it passed 86-6 in the House.
Hmm.
Also introduced was prevailing wage, House Bill 370, to make a Board of Education of a school district or the Governing Board of an Educational Service Center subject to the prevailing wage law for public improvement contracts. And then the appropriations for the straight A program for 2014 is $114 million, and then for 2015 it's $290 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Wow.
They didn't even spend all the money they had.
I know. will they carry that over? Who knows?
Well, I think the expectation is they'll spend it in each of those years, or you know, they've got it earmarked for a particular thing.
Yeah, they only spent 88 of it this year.
So, on House Bill 193, that's the one that the high school diplomas, revising current high school diploma requirements, including state administered assessments. That was just reported out of the Education Committee, and there's some interesting kind of things that they have done with it. They clarifying that each district must administer end-of-course exams in American history and American government after July 1st, 2014. Requiring a 14-day notice of any public hearing state board holds regarding academic content standards. Requiring boards of education to consult with parents, teachers, and district citizens when creating a process for selecting textbooks and instructional materials. ODE must also create by June 30th, 2014, a model process for selecting books. And then replacing the term advanced with superior, accelerated with commended in scoring levels for achievement tests and end-of-course exams. And allowing ODE to pay for optional administration of extra and of course exams in English, language arts, and math if it has funds to do so.
Which I'm sure they will.
So that's probably the highlights.
All right, cool. All right, thank you. Next up, is there anybody?
No.
Okay. Public participation, although no one signed up for it, I'll open it up again. If anybody would like to stand up and be heard, now is your time. All right. Don't say I didn't ask. Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the November 21st, 2013 regular board meeting.
So moved.
Did you move?
Uh-huh. Second.
Moved and second then. Any debate, questions, comments? Hearing none, then can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. DeMond?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. All right, I need a motion to approve the items submitted by the treasurer, please.
So moved.
I'll second that. Move and second. Cindy?
Other than what I gave you originally,
any comments, questions, discussion? Okay, hearing none, then can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the resolution declaring urgent necessity for the named contractor, Russelli Construction, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Ms. Mankins?
We talked briefly last month about the timeline of straight A, and so after consulting with legal, the really only way to make the deadline is for us to declare urgent necessity in order to get this position and the next two in a position that we can move forward and meet the deadlines.
Okay. Any discussion, questions? Hearing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mady?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve a resolution approving the architect agreement under urgent necessity.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Did you want to speak about the architects? I believe that's the OHM advisors for that, just to be clear.
Right, OHM.
OHM, what did I say? OHM. Okay.
Yes, that's what you said. Helped with our walk through the building with us initially, along with another architect, and really give us some numbers so we could put to the grant a little bit. And they've been involved with other STEM initiative and innovative learning spaces as well, including Clark Hall, Gahanna. They did some work at Columbus State Delaware campus, so moving forward with that.
Right. Any discussion?
I mean, I think it's just important that people know that there was some comparisons out there, that you weren't just, you know,
yes,
picking names out of the air, but right, that you guys did some research, and so.
And then they actually had a little bit of a, you know, I mean, they're familiar with the building and right, what our plans are, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Any other discussion? Hearing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Beatty.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the resolution designated the authorized representative to act on behalf of the school district board and related to the STEM classroom facilities improvements.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Ms. Mankins or Ms. Ritter, whoever would like to speak to that.
I will. This is for if things go over where we think that it's going to be, and so they don't have to bring, everything has to come back for resolutions or anything to the board, up to $50,000, anything over $50,000, so that we can just keep right on going because we need this. A lot of times they only put it at 25. Talking with our attorney, he said, Cindy, I don't think that's high enough based on the project, based on the timelines. I said 50, and he said, let's do it 50. So we put it up at 50 so that if something happens, either Diane or Mike can take care of it and they can keep this project going because they don't have the time and they've got to keep it going.
Those are for change orders, right?
Change
orders. Basically,
yes.
What that's for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So anything under 50,000 is just going to go through and
right,
we would just be notified of
yeah,
those things
exactly,
going on.
But
we
but
have the authority to
yeah,
do that.
But I also believe there's a maximum amount you can spend
yes,
total.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, so it's not just change orders and change.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
right,
a maximum amount
right, kind
of this
running
project.
Working, yeah, and we're still working on that number, on that max, just because we had estimates only.
Okay.
And it'll take a while to get that max, so that'll come to the board later on.
Okay. So that'll change from what's in there
yeah,
now? Okay.
Yeah. I put the full amount that was in there as far as what we thought at the time.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right, fair enough. Any other discussion? Hearing none, then, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Beatty.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Sorry, I was... Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve the adoption by the Board of County Commissioners of Union County to approve a real property tax exemption. That's a TIF. It's really a TIF resolution. So
Cindy. Moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Cindy, do you want, Cindy or Diane, do you want
to? This is the one with the Honda properties that we discussed, and Mr. Stolte was here last month, and we discussed the TIF out there. This will help with the infrastructure in that area. It'll also help with the infrastructure on the roads surrounding Honda, bus routes, very important. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll help out that and in the long run for everybody.
Any discussion? Hearing none, then, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Beatty.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve a resolution to purchase 2 brand new school buses.
So moved.
I'll second that. Moved and second. Did you want to speak to that? I mean, those are on our schedule.
They are on our schedule. We only have enough to buy 2. We probably should be buying 4 to 5 a year with the size of fleet that we have, the two, and these two will get us through this year.
Are those regular? There's 72 passenger buses. Is that
I
what
think one, I thought one was even bigger, like 86.
It
I
could
thought.
Be an 84.
84,
I
yeah.
I haven't had
one of each? 72?
One of each. 72 special ed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Handicapped bus.
Gotcha.
One's a handicapped and one's a regular bus.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So the handicap will have lift gate on it and everything.
Okay. And we have two buses a year in the PI forecasted.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. Any other discussion? Not hearing none, then can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the items submitted by the superintendent in agenda 17-1, 17-2, and 17-3, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Ms. Mankins.
Yes, so we have several. I was trying to think of how to phrase this. Because of the STEM, we've talked about Kathy McKenna's taking over the lead for that project. So starting January 6th, she will shift into that role as being the early college high school principal. Michelle Kaufenbauer is on the agenda tonight to move into the principal's seat at Bunzold. And then it's my pleasure to also recommend the hiring of Mike Robertson as the new assistant principal. Mike is certainly, I'm going to talk about you, certainly a talented guy that I've been impressed with. You know, since I walked in the door, I think really it was just about finding the right fit for him and the right fit of a position for him, and this is it. I mean, he's going to come in there and do a fantastic job. I have the utmost confidence, and he'll be filling that position, or I'm recommending that, that position.
Pending board approval.
I don't know.
We also have a... Mike, would you like to say anything?
Oh, no, I feel incredibly grateful to be able to grow and continue my career at Marysville. I didn't anticipate that opportunity, and I couldn't be more thankful.
Well, I know, I for one, am certainly excited to see you grow in that position. I think you're going to be great.
Well, thank you very much.
Pending board approval.
I appreciate that email.
I would like to add that, too, as well. I mean, I always knew that you had hired, or at some point you were going to end up someplace in a leadership role, and I was just hoping it would be here in Marysville. So I would have to say, it's looking at the agenda when I came out, that was probably the most exciting item on the list for me, this board meeting.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I appreciate all your confidence, and I hope to live up to it. So thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, no pressure, right?
Singing. Will they have singing announcements at Bunzold now?
Oh, that's going to get goofy.
I'm sure it will.
Several supplemental contracts. Again, our list of volunteers, I think I say it every month, continues to grow. We also have overnight trips for music program for the swingers. And wrestling, approval for payment for transportation.
Impracticality?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, then can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
I think I moved.
Okay.
That's why, is that why she's like, what?
I know.
Wasn't
yes,
in the right spot.
Whatever.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
And Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Okay, motion carries.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, this has come to the end of our meeting. For those of us who are leaving the board, this will be our last meeting. So I will open it up for comments from our board members. I'll start with Mrs. Powers.
Where to start?
Yeah. Thank you all. It's been quite an experience, quite a roller coaster at times, but we have learned a lot, and I know that Sue feels the same way. You guys have really helped us to grow and to know what we're doing when we come in here and now we're the seniors and we're kind of like, should we run and hide now? So we've discussed that. It's a little unnerving for us to be the so-called leaders now when all of you are leaving. So appreciate everything you've done and all of your leadership, Jeff. I know that we've bugged you a lot with questions and late night calls and everything else, and but you never seemed to mind. You never got upset.
You can call anytime you want.
You guys about calling and asking different things, and so we're going to miss you. We've had a lot of fun and a lot of, like I said, the hard times. But I think the good times ever won that. So
I agree.
Thank you,
Mr. Lasser.
I'm just going to say I enjoyed being on this board. I'm going to miss being here and working with this team, I think, the most. It was neat, especially over the last couple of years, just to kind of see, even with the differences in opinions, that come together. And it's just been exciting to be part of. And I feel blessed that I've had that opportunity. And I just have the utmost confidence in the district and this governance team moving forward and with the new members, that the best days are still ahead. So thanks to everybody for putting up with me.
Ms. Greer.
I too feel truly blessed having been a part of this for this time. And I guess I have a different aspect, because even though I'll be stepping off the boards with two kids currently in the district, it's right. Like I'll still be involved and participating in a different role with all the new and interesting things that are going on. But this has been a really enjoyable learning experience. And with the governance team that we have created, it's just been one of the, I guess, crowning achievements of, you know, being on the board and what we have been able to accomplish in the past couple years. Finding Diane and then just where that has taken us has been just incredible for our district and our kids, and I am just so thankful that everything fell into place and that we found you, and you're such a rock star, and everything you're doing here has just been great for our kids and our community.
Ms. Devine.
Well, I gave my speech for you guys before everybody got here, but there's no words to describe how blessed I feel to have been a part of this team, and we went through a lot together. And
we did.
Gets me choked up thinking about it. But I'm proud of what we've accomplished, and I'm really excited to move forward. I think we really set a good foundation for how we want this district to be run. And so again, I'm excited. We've got great leaders out there, and we're just ready to take off. I also would like to thank Cindy Ritter for her work for us as the treasurer, coming in and having no idea what a five-year forecast was. I certainly learned a lot over the past couple of years, and you were always patient when I asked questions, and so I appreciate that very much, too. So enjoy your retirement and not having to worry about deadlines and payroll and all that kind of exciting stuff.
All right, well, I would just like to say, I want to certainly thank our community for the opportunity to serve on this board. For me, it's certainly been a humbling experience to get in and understand what we as a district do. When you walk into our classrooms and see all the things that happen and see the great things that are provided for our students, and then when you walk out and you go to a meeting somewhere in Columbus and you say, I represent Marysville, when you say proud to be a Monarch, there's nothing, when you look behind you and see what you're representing, I mean, I couldn't be more proud to be part of this community. And really, I couldn't be more humbled to be part of this board. This is a great leadership team. Probably one of our greatest accomplishments, I'll be honest with you, is the people that we hire. I mean, we couldn't have done any better. The shape of our district, where we're going, is very exciting. I'm excited for the students and our community members for where we're going. I'm thankful for the opportunity to sit on this board, and the community allowed me to provide leadership. Whatever that leadership be judged however you want, but it's certainly grateful for that opportunity. So and thank you to all of you. I can't tell you,
You know, I think each one of us has probably heard our names spoken in both a positive and maybe some positive in our community. But I will say without question, this board has worked harder, has been more focused, and the results that we've come away with, you know, where we are. Andy was kind enough to remind me what we were doing exactly 1 year ago, you know, now. And from where we were then to where we are now. It was a hard road. It's a hard, difficult road, but I couldn't be more proud of where we are and where we're going. So thank you to all of you for all of your work and dedication that a lot of people don't see, I'll be honest with you. It's a lot of hours and a lot of discussions that happen that just people just don't understand. But in the end, it's going to work out. So thank you. Ms. Mankins, any closing comments?
So, first of all, I'd like to echo what you just talked about. Thank each of you, each one of you, for you know, choosing this path. It is a difficult job to be a board member. I think some people perceive, you know, an hour or two a month, you know, for a meeting, and certainly that's not the case. It's the endless phone calls and the meetings beyond meetings and the other committees you set on to represent the board and, you know, going to High Point, being a part of Chamber. It's really important to have those connections to the greater community to represent our school. And each of you have done so in an amazing fashion. Makes me proud to be a part of this community, makes me proud to be a part of this school system and this team. Certainly 4 years is a long time. Jeff, you've been here 8. So just can't imagine the time away from your families. And so thank you on behalf of the staff and the students for what you've done. And it has been a difficult journey. And the best part of it is, you know, you've been able to hold your head up high and push through, or we have together. And it's been quite a year since I've been here. I can't speak to the rest of your years of service, but it certainly is out of a labor of love and trying to put our students in the best position possible that you run for positions like these. And it's not about all the extra money you get. And yeah. So thank you for that. Cindy?
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, you have been a phenomenal asset for me walking in the door. I think from the moment I met you, we had a connection, and I've never taken that lightly. So thank you for everything you've done for me and all the advice and all the, no, you're doing this totally wrong. And I appreciate your coaching and your support. I certainly could not have made it through last year without having a friendly face to walk into the office to. So thank you very much. I'm done.
Cindy, do you want to add any closing comments? This is your last opportunity.
No, just thank you. It's been fun. It's been a journey here. One of the probably harder ones. Yeah, some of it. You know, over the years, I've unfortunately had to do what we did a year ago in too many districts, and it's tough no matter what district you're in. And the friends that you make and all across the state, but you don't see me around, so I'm still here. So we'll be around and working for the good of the students of Ohio. So.
All right.
Levy chair, potentially.
No, I was going to say, yeah. How about lit
grass? I'm talking about that one.
All right. Well, for those of you in internet land, this will be the last time you'll hear my golden tones on this recorder. So,
are you sure you're having fun?
That's it. That's it. So it's not Paul Harvey signing off, but I'm sure a much nicer voice will be coming across the airwaves next month. So. With that, I need a motion to adjourn then, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Bowers.
Yes.
And we are adjourned.